Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
1 o'clock hour on a Wednesday here in Kansas City. Good to be talking to you guys as always. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here in about 35 minutes. We'll hear from Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He joined us a little bit earlier on in the show. We got his perspective on the two wide receivers that moved yesterday. Yeah, they both got better, but which team got much better for the Chiefs playoff comparisons and the contenders in that circumstance, as in Bills or Jets? We'll get to that and his thoughts on Tom Brady and the whole broadcast thing slash ownership thing that you and I were just discussing. One other reminder, though, we've been telling you guys about this for a couple months. We're almost there. A week from today, we fly out. A week from tomorrow, we will be broadcasting live in Las Vegas at Circa Las Vegas, the unbelievable resort there. We will be poolside, 85 degree weather, getting set for Chiefs and Raiders weekend. We'll be hosting a party on that Friday night. If you're going to be in Vegas, whether you're flying in Thursday, you're flying in Friday night, whatever, if you're going to be in Vegas for the game that weekend, or you know somebody that is, be sure to text in. We'll get you a link to RSVP for the party. And why do you want to do that? It's because that'll get you a free drink. That'll get you registered to win tickets to the game on Sunday. It'll also get you registered to win one of the day beds that they have poolside, which is also really nice and normally costs quite a bit of change, I'll be honest. So that is a really, really good reason to RSVP.
Saturday before the game.
Oh, big time.
Sitting in the poolside bed. Yeah, that sounds pretty nice.
913-586-7965. That's the text line if you want the link to RSVP. Many of you over the last couple days have been asking for the link. We'll send that out to you if you ask for it. And we hope to see you guys in Vegas. It's going to be a great time.
Can't wait. Like you said, social media too, at Cody B. Tapp or at Alex Gold. If you need us, look forward to seeing you, I guess, pretty much 1 week from tomorrow out there at Circa Las Vegas.
That's right. Now, while we were talking during Random Question of the Day, Clark Hunt was wrapping up some of his media availability, of course, the owner of the Chiefs. And we hadn't heard a ton about the stadium stuff in a little while, certainly on the Royals front, too, because I think during their playoff push and everything, that was their attention and focus. And I think we'll start to hear more on the Royal Stadium over the next weeks ahead. But Clark Hunt was asked for an update. Here is what he had to say about the Chiefs stadium plans.
So for the last 3 months or so, since I had a chance to visit with y'all at training camp, we've been working on creating some options, not only for the stadium, but also for potentially a new training facility. We've been looking at a lot of sites on both the Kansas and Missouri sides, as well as talking to the political leaders in Missouri about perhaps renovating Arrowhead again. We're not at the end of that process at all. We continue to have good conversations, and we're hopeful that by the spring we'll have some direction. I certainly don't expect to have anything finalized by that point, but I'd like to know the direction that we're headed in that time frame.
So the last part is interesting to me, and I understand. I understand things change, right? Nobody's holding you to a hard deadline. There are things that cause timelines to move back. But when he spoke at training camp, and I guess I could find the audio of it again and play it, I believe he said they would like to, by the end of the year, have that plan and direction. And we just heard him say, now he's saying by spring they would like to have.
And spring is a very loose deadline.
Yeah, so it seems like the end of the year idea is not that we're going to have definitive plans, here's what it looks like, but we would have an idea, all right, they're moving forward with renovations, or they're moving forward with a new stadium in Kansas or Missouri, whatever it may be. Whereas now it seems like, we're not going to, we may hear rumors, but we may not get anything definitive until the spring on what the Chiefs are going to do. And the way he said, you know, we're even considering renovations kind of told me that's still like the secondary option now that the thing failed, as we know, in April.
It's always like the read between the lines situation where you're trying to decide, you know, he said Kansas before Missouri, like it's small stuff, right? Do I care?
I don't know about that.
Kansas and Missouri side. Oh, okay.
Alphabetical order.
Look, the truth is, I'd still be alphabetical order. That's how you wrote it. I still wonder. I don't feel like there's any chance they're just going to renovate. Maybe I'm way off here, and maybe that is still the more realistic way if they are going to stay in Missouri. But the second that thing failed, I just never felt like they were going to go back to that. It was going to be a new stadium in Missouri or a new stadium on the Kansas side, because I'll be honest, I don't feel like they got the feedback that they would have wanted on the appetite for a renovation to Arrowhead, because the renovation wasn't that exciting. It didn't fundamentally change your enjoyment of the game, most people's enjoyment of the game. It only brought luxury options to most people who can't afford them, and you kind of got stuck in no man's land other than a canopy on the top level of Arrowhead Stadium. I still think that this is slower, and I'm curious, I'm assuming John Sherman will speak in postseason or speak at the winter meetings or something at some point, but I'd like to know what their timeline is. Same time, spring?
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing at the text line 913. Someone says, Kate comes before M, Professor Tapp. Someone else says, he could be saying end of year, as in the Chiefs are going to be playing in mid-February anyway. So, you know, it's not far from spring. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. As far as the renovation, look, if they end up deciding to renovate, of course it has to be a different plan. That renovation was underwhelming to most, if not all. And so I think that's the challenge, and why you and I have said multiple times that I don't believe renovating is smart, because you are trying to renovate such an old building and there are limitations within that. And whether it's a new stadium or renovation, the sad reality is, and this is where, yes, if we lived in a perfect world, the teams would just pay 100% of it, but that's just not reality. We know the teams are going to pay some, the public will end up paying a bulk of it. That's just the you can say it's sad or whatever, but that's the reality. The question is just exactly what's the dollar amount going to look like. And so anytime you renovate or build a new stadium in 2030 or 2026, it doesn't matter. Those stadiums are going to have features that are catered to those that have businesses or can spend money on suites in general. That's just the reality of it. It sucks. But I will say the renovation, because of the age of the stadium, by the time the renovation would be concluded, by the way, it'd be even, you know, another 5 years older. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Plus, that would be, what, a 20-year lease? And so in 20 years, they'd come back and want a new stadium. Now, you build a new stadium, they can come back in 20 years and want renovations of the new stadium. That can happen.
That's still less than a new building.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I still, where are you? Have you changed at all? Like, what do you ultimately think happens? I still find it hard to believe that both are in the same county. I think if Missouri were to keep the Royals and Chiefs, I think one would have to be in Jackson County. The other would have to go north. That's just my belief on the situation. If they're staying in Missouri, if they're split, then yeah. I mean, obviously one stays in Jackson County. One goes to the Kansas side, whether that's Wyandotte, wherever. He mentioned the training facility part too.
That should be split across.
But that's where it's
lines.
Like, okay, we stay in Jackson County. Maybe it's Clay County that gets the training facility, or maybe it's Johnson County in Kansas that gets the training facility. Like, that's where it could get interesting for splitting things up.
I guess this would be an economics question for the people who have helped build these things before and they ask money for these. What is the economic benefit of a training facility being in your county? Doesn't seem like any. What's the point?
Yeah.
Other than if training camp is also coming to that facility.
Well, I think they would leave St. Joe.
And we're done wasting our time in St. Joe. Well, then at the very least, anybody who's coming to training camp will come to our county, and we might be able to attract the people outside of it. Because if it's not that, I don't see the economic benefit at all. It's certainly less of an economic benefit than having the actual stadium. If you made me guess right now, and I still think we're all just guessing because the Royals haven't stated a timeline, you would think that their timeline's tighter than the Chiefs, because they said they don't want to even be playing at Kauffman.
Yeah, they're definitely
out. By 2028, 2029. They're saying by the end of their lease, they're done. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in that building anymore, and they want to be in wherever their new building is going to be. I still think they end up on both sides of the state line. I think the Royals end up in Missouri and the Chiefs end up in Kansas. But am I sure about that? God, no.
Yeah, nobody can be sure about that. I mean, the teams aren't even – I mean, we just heard
that's
from Clark Hunt.
Yes.
And the timeline. The interesting thing with the Royals staying in Missouri is obviously a lot of the reporting that's been out there recently suggesting that there would not be a vote required, as in the city would take control of that situation and they would build their own district that would have tax revenue go to support the project. Similar to what the Starbonds do in Kansas. There's a lot of questions within that, other than ticking a lot of people off, perhaps, would be, is that financially viable? What's the price tag for that stadium? And is there enough revenue coming in to tax in that district to pay for the stadium? That's all stuff that a lot of other people are going to have to figure out that have more of the financial numbers than you and I would ever have or be smart enough to figure out. So that's interesting to me. Someone brought up, hey, what's the sports betting thing's role in this? It doesn't hurt. November, we all know, on general election day, there's also in Missouri sports betting amendment that has a chance to pass. We'll see. That could bring revenue opportunities to the Chiefs and Royals in Missouri. We know it's legal in Kansas. I've always cautioned people on that. Like, I don't think that would be like a deciding factor. Is it a small piece of the puzzle? Sure.
Does it make the decision left or right? No, it doesn't. The whole thing is like going back to the whole plan, and this is why inevitably it failed. One, we always thought their messaging wasn't very good. I didn't think they had a central message for a long time in the entire process. But go back to just the initial part when they're like, we're together, arm in arm, 3 8-cent sales tax. The part that still bugs me is the Royals and the Chiefs were asking for the same amount of money. For the money I was giving the Royals, I got a brand new downtown stadium with new stuff near it, new businesses, a new district to the other side on that East Crossroads location. And for the Chiefs, I got a parking lot. And you're like, I'm sorry. I'm giving you both the same amount of money. I'm not getting the same out of this. Like, look,
but isn't that the argument for a new Chiefs stadium instead of renovating it? It is very expensive to renovate a 55-year-old stadium. I mean, yes. Isn't that really the case? I mean, that's what it is.
They had the tailgate zone, and they were going to put some turf down in the middle of the parking lot so you could, like, party. And they were going to have, like, a new parking area where you could walk across a concourse. But, I mean, they provided essentially nothing for everyday fans, at least in the baseball stadium. I was getting downtown baseball.
Sure.
I was getting a brand new building in downtown baseball. I'm like, how am I paying the same amount for these two?
I prefer downtown baseball. But as we said, I mean, what's interesting, you go all the way back, I'm talking, hell, almost pre-COVID, right when John Sherman took over. At that point, we knew they were in love with what?
Downtown baseball.
Well, no. They love the Battery in Atlanta, Battery, which is not downtown.
No, they said they love downtown baseball, but they did mention the Battery, which is a suburb.
Yeah, and so I've always go back to that. Like, I think downtown baseball clearly is what they were trying to get past in April, and that's what I prefer just as a baseball fan in this city and growing up here. But that idea, how many times we love the Battery. We would love to do something just like that. And I get, they're in large part talking about the entertainment district and the fact that they would own the real estate around it, et cetera, for development. But that's a suburb. That's where the Legends comes to my mind. Also, like, if the downtown baseball thing doesn't work for the Royals, obviously it's not like this idea of playing in the suburbs has never been done before or some terrible thing.
No, a lot. It's not a terrible thing. I understand, like, it works in other cities. I hate it because baseball's every day.
Baseball, I agree.
Baseball every day shouldn't be in this. Like, if you're putting a sport in the suburbs, it should be football. Like, just logistically, we talk about this. Like, what are the sports that are better to watch on TV versus watch in person? Baseball's better to watch in person. Football's better to watch on TV. Just reality. Football is a better product on TV than it is in real life. Baseball's better downtown than it is in the suburbs. Football works fine in the suburbs. It might be just as good as downtown because you go once every other week. 8 times. It doesn't matter how far out in the suburbs you almost put it. It's not that inconvenient for people.
You'll drive 45 minutes or an hour for eight times a year.
They could put it in payola and versus, it wouldn't feel way too far in a lot of ways.
A Wednesday night at 6:10 first pitch.
If on a school night for 50% of the games. It just doesn't make sense. I don't think baseball should be in the suburbs. Is it a death sentence? No. But I think baseball should be downtown. It should be in the central part of the city.
I don't know if it's a good comparison or not, but I think if they put the Chiefs in Legends,
okay,
then it reminds me of the way that Arlington and
the way
that Cowboys Stadium is it's very close to some shops to some shop areas. It's like you can see the stadium from like a big shopping center in the area. Not sure where they'd put it, obviously, but if you're in Legends, you think of the shops, the outlets, and all that other stuff. There's stuff to do while it's still an arm's length away from the stadium where you can it can have its own parking and all of that stuff that they want to have without feeling like it's too far apart from entertainment and all that other stuff while also being its own thing.
And for the Chiefs specifically, they're making it closer for about half their fans And for half the fans that it has been closer for, they're making it further away. Like, that's the reality of it.
Yeah,
for the people who have been traveling to Independence, they have to now travel distances they didn't used to have to travel to get there. Again, every other week, eight times a year. And for half their season ticket base, which is on the Kansas side and in the area, not in Wyandotte County, but near or closer to Wyandotte County, those people are closer. So, like, that to me is a wash. Baseball's different. Baseball's just a different animal. I would put it downtown.
Yeah, and Nick, we both talked about this from our perspective, obviously, and both of us grew up in Kansas City, and you grew up on the Missouri side. I grew up on the Kansas side. My entire life, I've just not been a big deal. I drive to Missouri to go see the Chiefs and Royals. That's all I know, right? So I think it's easier for me to see, like, all right, if they stay in Missouri, great. If they don't, as long as they're staying in the region, I don't care. I think for and I'm not speaking for you, but I think for some people,
Missourians, sure,
on the Missouri side, their entire life, and maybe I would view it differently if my entire life I was doing what I'm about to say, which is your entire life, you've known it's just been in your state and you've driven, I don't know, 15 minutes or whatever, and you're there. So that's what you're used to. I'm used to going to Missouri. So for me, either whether it's in Missouri or Kansas, it doesn't mean it's a whole lot. You're asking me, like, my preference? My preference, the reason why I say Chiefs and Kansas is because I know that ensures a new stadium. If they stay in Missouri, there's a chance it's a renovation. That's why I've consistently said I prefer the Chiefs and Kansas, in large part because I believe in a new stadium. Build the palace while Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, while you're the franchise in the sport. Not renovate, and then in 20 years, when, let's be real, they're not going to be nearly as good as they are right now, then you're going to ask for a brand new stadium probably then.
And part of it is just, like, the burden on both sides. This is a city that has suburbs on both sides of a state line. That doesn't exist in every city, but it does exist here. So why put, if we're agreeing to the fundamental premise that is tax dollars have to be spent to publicly fund billionaire stadiums, that we just agree that that's the way life works. Yeah. Let's not argue over whether they should or not,
yeah,
but let's agree that that's the way to this point that life has worked. Well, then hell, make Kansas pay for one and make Missouri pay for the other. At least make this thing equitable. Like, that's the appeal to me of both sides of the state line. You got to pay some of the bill.
Yep.
I got to pay some of the bill. We didn't go to dinner and both get steak dinners. We didn't both get tomahawks. And I'm like, I guess I'll take the whole bill, Gold. Hope you enjoyed your dinner.
Is that the move next week? Is that what you're suggesting? You want tomahawk steaks? I assume you and your wife are just going to go to dinner. I have some other friends coming into Vegas next week. I guess I'll go to Barry's by myself. I doubt you and your wife are going to want me to be at your dinner as well. So I'll probably go have dinner separate ways. You go enjoy your own tomahawk, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. The point is, I'm not paying for yours.
I got you.
Like, the idea that it's on both sides of the state line always becomes appealing because in a metro where things exist on both sides of the state line, two people footing the bill is kind of nice. It spreads the tax burden around. For anybody who's like, this is going to cost families $200 a year. Well, maybe it only cost my family $100 a year, Gold, and your family $100 a year, whatever.
Yeah, someone mentioned, isn't part of the football stadium pitch the opportunity to host other events, just like someone brings
Final Fours, etc.
Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. Yeah, I mean, for sure. Now, in order to host an event like the Final Four, of course, it would have to be a new stadium because you would need retractable roof. That's just a non-starter otherwise. So that's the intrigue, and I know some would push back on the Final Four stuff and say, hey, you're only getting that once every blank years. Yeah, but a Final Four, if you get in the rotation, like Indy has, by the way, and you're once every 8 years, and you're building out a stadium, and then you're getting every mega concert because you have the facility now, like that's a huge deal for the air, whether it's in Missouri or Kansas, I don't know, but like that's the benefit.
Well, we talk
about outdoor stadium, you have limitations. Anybody that's been to a concert at Arrowhead when it's July and it's 98 degrees outside, it can be a miserable experience. I understand they're still selling it out, but anybody that's been to, you pick, whether it's Luke Holmes or
Kenny Chesney,
it seems like he's there every summer. Like it is hot, and that impacts some people that may not want to go.
And it also, like, yes, but also, like, this goes to the same thing. I want the city to move forward. Yeah. I wanted a new airport because I wanted the city to progress. I want those things to continue to happen. A new stadium allows us to get things like, I want to go to a Final Four in the city of
Kansas.
It's
a way for you to show the city off to people who never would have come. Like, people who cover college basketball, how often are they in Kansas City anyways? Maybe for the Big 12 tournament.
Turn Lawrence a little bit.
But in terms of, like, visiting Kansas City and experiencing it from a national perspective, it's a way to introduce people to the city. And if you hit a home run, you get into that rotation goal that you're talking about, and it's going to constantly come back.
Yeah, and that's for Final Four and other event, you know.
Or the Super Bowl.
Bowl, I just don't think. I think that's just a pipe dream that people can put out there. I disagree with the...
Indy's hosted it, so I feel like...
Yeah, but when's the last time Indy hosted the Super Bowl, Drew? It's been a little bit.
It has.
My point, they're not doing that anymore. They're going, basically, they're going to L.A., New Orleans, Atlanta, and Miami in Vegas. Like, that's basically where the Super Bowls are.
And so the
Kansas City can get the draft. A new stadium could get maybe a Final Four, could get a Big 12 title game, could get a bowl game, that kind of, in all the concerts. Super Bowl, I think if anybody's trying to sell you on a new stadium because of the Super Bowl, I think they're lying to you.
2012.
I just think
they're selling you a tonic on the side of the road, a miracle cure for baldness. Like, yeah, they're not telling you the truth.
Yeah.
After Detroit, they're never going back to the cold weather city.
Or Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah, but they have had it in Detroit before, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't Detroit.
Yeah, but Minnesota
was 2000 and
that was a long time.
Seven
ago.
Wasn't it? That was when Seattle and the Steelers played.
I did the radio row in Minneapolis. I mean, there was.
I love the Vikings Stadium.
4 feet of snow from on far. The
now, you can tell me if I'm wrong because you. I don't know if you went to the. Went to the game,
I didn't go to a game
on TV. I think on TV the Vikings Stadium looks incredible. The natural light that comes in on the afternoon games. It doesn't look like you're in a dome, dark stadium like somebody like in Atlanta, and I know they have the little opening or whatever, aperture or whatever opening, but the New Orleans Saints Stadium, like it looks like it's dark and it's a dome. Looks like, you know, like whereas the Viking Stadium, because of the windows and the lighting, heck, the Raiders Stadium too, you don't feel when you're in there that you're indoors
stuck
as much.
Inside, yeah.
That's what whatever they decide to do if they build a new stadium, that's what I would like to be. All right. Up next, we will get to what's trending. We also will hear from Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He filled us in on what move yesterday actually hurts the Chiefs the most and what move could they make in the future.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, other than a couple injury updates, and really the one from Andy Reid, not a whole lot from his media availability today. We did learn that Clyde Edwards-Helaire expected to practice today and has been. Looks good. His practice window's been opened up. Also, the only Chief not practicing, Mike Dana, dealing with a pec strain. So he continued. Before it was a quad, now it's a pec strain. So he's just been a little beat up this year, unfortunately. A key piece to this defense a year ago. I think now you're just get him right, get him healthy. You know, you have a ton of football the rest of the way, but it could be a big loss for them on Sunday going up against the 49ers.
We talked about the pass rush in general. It's been kind of underwhelming this year outside of Chris Jones, who's been an absolutely dominant force. And the defense is still playing really well, so it's hard to, like, panic about it. But, yeah, they could use Mike Dana healthy at some point this year. Next up on What's Trending, NLCS and ALCS games. Last night, the Yankees advanced 6-3. They're up 2-0 in that series, so they have a massive advantage there. Game 3 of the NLCS game is tonight. Dodgers and Mets tied up at 1-1, 2 blowouts. Dodgers easily handled game 1. Mets easily handled game 2. So we'll see whether or not we get a close game in this one tonight as it sits right now. So it looks like the Yankees are heading that way, but it'll be Dodgers-Mets for game 3 tonight.
Elsewhere in baseball, report out of Tampa, of course, they're dealing with Hurricane Milton and the aftermath of that terrible situation. There's also some baseball implications, too, other than just real-life stuff. Tropicana Field is unlikely to be ready, according to reports, for opening day 2025. So that would be in March, end of March. So they're still trying to figure out exactly the full extent. How long is it? A couple months? Is it the entire season? But they're going to need another home for opening day. That is definitive. They already know that. That's March 27th, just given the scale of repairs. So there's a bunch of spring training facilities right there in Florida. That's the easiest path maybe for them. Otherwise, yeah, you start to wonder. I mean, I just don't think they're going to go to Oakland, even though that's funny, based on travel. You know, is there other options in the southeast, basically, for them to go that have bigger stadiums than the spring training facilities? I don't know.
They'll have to look. That would be maybe a college stadium. But again, those seasons interlock with each other, so you have to find someone whose schedule you could work around. Next up on What's Trending, stuff around the NFL. Patrick Surtain is questionable to maybe play in the game tomorrow night. Malik Nabers did practice for the first time for the Giants today, although in a non-contact jersey. And Cole Kmet was the first long snapper in league history to be named Special Teams Player of the Week. The reason why is that is he ended up being the long snapper due to injury, and he scored 2 touchdowns. So he ended up getting Special Teams Player of the Week, even though typically you'd be like, how the hell would you decide that for a long snapper? They didn't kick ass snapping it long. No, he scored 2 touchdowns.
Because he filled in. That's long snapper, and he got a couple touchdowns as the tight end for the game.
That's a fun way to give him the award.
Uh-huh. Good for Cole Kmet. Lastly on What's Trending, just a reminder, that betting show does return tonight. I'll be hosting that at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Haven't had live shows this season, obviously with Royals postseason coverage and everything going on. But we're live tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll break down the Chiefs and Niners from a betting perspective. Also Thursday Night Football, MVP markets, all those things, plus your texts and calls coming up at 6 o'clock tonight here on 96.5 The Fan. And What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. A little bit earlier today, we were joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. He joins us each and every Wednesday. It's always good to get a national perspective on what he's seeing from the Chiefs and, of course, what's happening in the NFL. And our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. It's my favorite one to say all week, I think, whenever I get to do that. Me and Will Levis. That's true. That is true. But no, we started our conversation with Ross asking about the two wide receivers that got traded yesterday. Jets make a move. Bills make a move. Who actually got better that could impact the playoff scenarios more when it comes to the Chiefs?
Well, they both got better in terms of the impact it has on maybe beating the Chiefs. It's more significant that the Bills got Amari Cooper. I mean, I just don't see the Jets with their other issues. I mean, the Bills ran the ball right down their throat, and Aaron Rodgers getting hit a lot behind that offensive line. I don't think the Jets are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think the Bills are, you know, as they get Matt Milano back to health. They've gotten Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard back now. And the problem with the Bills is they didn't have a receiver who could win on the outside. I mean, you know, they drafted this Keon Coleman in the second round. He can't get any separation. He's like a contested catch guy, which is not easy to be in the NFL because the corners are so good at the catch point. And so they have Shakir inside. They have the good tight ends, but they needed a receiver that could beat man coverage on the outside, in particular when they play against a team like the Chiefs, for that matter. And so Amari Cooper can do that. The interesting thing there is he's been bad this year for the Browns, like bad. Leads the NFL in drops. So the question is, Will the drops and will the play improve as he gets away from Cleveland and Deshaun Watson and gets to Buffalo with Josh Allen?
When you look at what they, the position they're in, the way that like a lot of people in Buffalo seem to think about this year was like it was the half step back to take the full steps forward because they put themselves in a bad cap spot. For a couple of years, they are trying to go all in. This feels more of an all-in move. Do you think that's indicative of just the position they put themselves in, or because maybe the Chiefs look slightly more vulnerable knowing their injuries?
Well, I think what it is they know that they're good enough to be in the mix at the end and to have a shot. But I think they also know that they probably weren't going to be able to get it done in January without adding a guy like Amari Cooper. Now, the big thing is Amari Cooper, the Browns redid his deal in the offseason. And, you know, out of his like $20 million salary or whatever, they gave him $18.75 in a bonus. And so he goes to the Bills for the minimum. So from a money standpoint, it's very, very affordable. Now, they did give up a third-round pick for him, but, you know, I think that they feel like that's worth it to give them a chance this year. And then I'd have to check. I actually haven't looked that much to see what the options are for them and him in the next couple of years in terms of Amari's contract and whether or not he might be there past this year. But I think that they – you know, this team is good enough that they wanted to feel like they gave them a legitimate chance to make a go out of it this year.
When you look at the Chiefs' offensive wide receiver, who do you think is the best fit? I mean, people are immediately just going to assume that MVS ends up back with the Chiefs since he's on the street. But Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, from a scheme perspective, who do you think the Chiefs should be targeting?
You know, the other guy I think they might look at would be Mike Williams. You know, Mike Williams is clearly going to be available, the former Charger, via trade now because of, you know, them acquiring Davante Adams. So I'm trying to think about the different guys, you know, the Chiefs have. Obviously, we know what Xavier Worthy is. We kind of know what Juju is. He's more of like the physical, maybe slot guy. I don't know. I guess I kind of like... I kind of do like Mike Williams as I think about it. I mean, Hopkins can still play. I don't know that Carolina would get rid of Deontay Johnson. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I guess there's some thought that he's on the trade market. I would think an outside receiver, physical guy that can win deep and short, I would think Mike Williams would be the guy, but who knows?
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider here on Cody and Gold. One thing that we started the show with was, all right, wide receivers is where all the fans are focusing on. I disagree with Cody a little bit, but he thinks they actually need to go find another defensive lineman in the trade market. I just think Charles Omenihu, who will be back from injury, is that acquisition essentially for them.
Yeah. When is he supposed to get back?
Maybe by Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I think that they could explore it, but they have a decent amount of guys. I think when they get Omenihu back, they basically have a pretty solid two deep there at each spot. So, I mean, you can always add somebody else. I don't know that Veach would give up a lot of resources, whether it's financial or draft choice, to try to get somebody like that in there. I think receiver's probably more pressing.
If you were an organization, though, because other teams have chased this before, Ross, so it's a weird, and you've talked about, you were on a team that was chasing a three-peat. You said it was mentioned inside the building at times. From an organization, like if you're Brett Veach, how much do you change your general philosophy in the chance to do something historic?
I don't think he looks at it that way. Okay. I don't think they look at it that way. I think they look at what gives us the best chance to win the Super Bowl this year. With always having, you know, one eye on the future, I don't know that they – it's a really interesting question. I don't know that they would go more all in for this year because of the chance to three-peat. You know, I think even if they felt that way, I wonder if they would verbalize it, but it might be a subconscious thing, right? I mean, you know, you do that, then people talk about you forever, right? Forever. And you're the first person to ever, first franchise to ever do it. I'd be curious to know if, like, Veach and Andy Reid looked at it or felt that way about it, especially Andy. You know, Andy's not getting any younger either, right? So I think there's a bunch of factors that might lead them to being perhaps a little bit more aggressive this year than they would normally otherwise be.
I can't remember, Ross, if you've called any of the NFL games internationally or not. And if you have, I'm curious to get your perspective on what seems to be more and more of a thought that Roger Goodell is open to having the Super Bowl international as well, which I think is a whole different conversation and something that I am very much against.
Yeah, so I have done multiple international games, and I love it. And I would be totally fine if the Super Bowl went international. But I guess let me hear why you're so against it.
Yeah, so look, I get why they play international games. Grow the sport, financial benefit. We all understand that. I understand that that's going to expand. We'll probably have every team playing internationally once a year. I think that's the thought going forward. I'm cool with that. The Super Bowl, man, like, there's nothing much more sports-wise Americana than the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday. There's the time zone issues that come into play. I don't think you take an American sports championship away from the U.S. Like, they're not playing the Euros in the United States.
Well, so first of all, none of this would happen for a very long time. I mean, I think Atlanta just got the 2028 Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I think Goodell always puts that as a possibility just to, like, excite and entice the international markets, you know?
Fair,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, we can get a Super Bowl. I will say this, though. I'm different than a lot of people. I am fully on board with any effort to grow the game internationally. And I'll tell you why. I played soccer till I was 11. So I think like age 5 to 11, like 6 years of soccer. I really liked soccer. It was a fun sport. I was evidently pretty good at it. I was always on the A team here in Pennsylvania. Pretty big deal, guys, just so you know. and I liked it. And then I played football. And the first day, I knocked a kid over on his butt. And I never thought about soccer ever again for the rest of my life, because football is so much better. And I think about, like, what if I was born in another country? My whole life would be different. There are kids all over the world that think soccer is the best sport. And that's because they've never played football. They've never put a helmet and shoulder pads on and knocked somebody over. It's like the greatest feeling ever, at least one of them. So anything we can do to expose more people internationally to football, we got to think about the kids. Can't we please think about the children that are suffering through lives of soccer when football could be part of it?
They're watching that 1-0 match and they could be actually enjoying people make physical contact. Last thing I have for you, Ross, another thing I think you can actually give us a personal experience on. How much harder is Tom Brady's job if he can't sit in on any of the meetings?
Yeah, it's harder for sure. I mean, the stuff that you get in the meetings is very, very valuable, depending on who you're talking to and depending on what they tell you. Yeah, I mean, they give you tremendous insight into what they're thinking for the game. And also, it's a great place to get stories about, you know, players and coaches that are in the game. I mean, you know, the flip side is we don't do production meetings for radio. And I feel like I do a good job on the radio. I was there with Kevin Harlan for the Saints game on Monday night, and I feel like we call a great game and that people really enjoy it, even though we didn't talk to any players and coaches. Although, in fairness, I do go on the field before the game and talk to players and coaches then for radio. But I think that the production meetings are very valuable, and I would not want to miss it. But I don't do it for radio, and I think I still do fine. So I guess that's the answer.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Appreciate it, man. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Think of the kids, okay? It's about the children. See you guys.
So that was Ross Tucker a little bit earlier today, our Odyssey NFL Insider. And yeah, I mean, the growing is, from his perspective, that's a unique story. And I'm definitely not anti-growing the sport of football. I just think they're doing plenty to grow the sport of football by playing all these international games, and they're going to continue to play more international games. Just don't think we need the Super Bowl.
They can play 16 a year for all I care.
They're going to.
What it's going to happen. Every team has to wear one. It is every team's extra home game. So it's 8 home, 8 on the road, 1 in an international market. Cool. Problem solved. Everybody agrees to the same. Just not the Super Bowl. The point you made is the one that I can't get over, which is what we talked about yesterday. No other sport would move their country's championship to the United States to host it. If it were the entire continent, like the Euros are not moving it. Mm-hmm. If it was the English Premier League championship, they're not playing it in New York. It's the English Premier League.
Yeah, could you imagine EPL, Manchester City and Tottenham, and they're playing in MetLife Stadium for their final or whatever.
In fairness, they don't have a championship.
I guess they do points. And yeah, but that's also another conversation.
I think there's talk of actually having Premier League games.
Well, I'd be pissed off if I was someone from that part of the country, that part of the world.
Owner who is American has said I don't like the idea of doing it as well. Anyways, I think growing the game more too, wouldn't it? The Super Bowl being there is great, but growing the game more, I think, would be having a team there, like having a team
in
that's
Germany
there would grow it exponentially more, probably. I think, than just having the Super Bowl.
He's just saying that, like, these poor kids. I like the way that essentially he's putting is these poor kids in Europe think soccer is the greatest sport on the planet. Those stupid kids. They don't even know football exists. The true greatest sport is essentially, it seems like, Ross's feel on the situation.
Let's make a trade then. If they get the Super Bowl, then I want multiple events back in our direction. All right, let's make a trade. You get the Super Bowl for
you
1 year.
Manchester United versus Real Madrid.
I want the Champions League final in the United States and something else. Give me something else.
That's the comparison. Champions League final.
That's what I need.
We want those Stroop waffles. The, like, you know, we want some of those here. We're taking a food item back from Europe.
I also want Germany, if you're getting a Super Bowl, I also want the Bundesliga finals and all that. I want that stuff here too. Do they do finals in that league, or do they just do points? They don't actually have a championship game.
Everything.
That's the difference too, is our country does sports different.
MLS does it way wrong. Everybody else does it correct with soccer. It's points.
All right, we're back at it tomorrow, Thursday edition of Cody and Gold. Looking forward to talking to you guys then. We'll have, of course, Paul Charchian, Dane and Hughes on the show. But for now, we have things off to C-Don and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.